Hello, this is Kathleen, and today, Wednesday, August 19th, I'll be reading to you from the Metro West Daily News. South Natick Landmark Removed. Progress continues August 17th on removal of the Charles River Dam spillway in South Natick. The dam deemed high hazard with poor condition rating from the State Office of Dam Safety due to extensive mature tree growth on the earthen berm. Natick has decided to have the dam removed. The project is managed by the Public Works Department in coordination with conservation and is supported by a Massachusetts Dam and Seawall grant. For more information, visit https://natickma.gov/1676/project-dam-removal-river-restoration. 147 cyclospora cases reported in state amid outbreak. By Bailey Allen and Rin Velasco from USA Today Network, New England. Massachusetts has been added to the list of states affected in the cyclospora outbreak, according to U.S. Food and Drug Administration. More than 140 cases of cyclosporiasis have been reported in Massachusetts, leading Massachusetts to officially be declared part of the outbreak. Maine was also added to the list. It has been confirmed that recalled iceberg lettuce products from Taylor Fresh Foods from June 29th through July 16th were distributed in the Commonwealth as well as in Maine. Recalled products should no longer be available for sale, the FDA said. If you previously purchased or received food items with recalled iceberg lettuce from Taylor Farms de Mexico, carefully clean and sanitize any surfaces or containers that it touched. Here's what you need to know about the cyclospora outbreak. What is cyclosporiasis? Cyclosporiasis is a parasitic foodborne illness that can cause explosive diarrhea. It has been recorded in Massachusetts this summer, according to the state's Department of Public Health. As of August 17th, there have been 147 cases. Cyclosporiasis is caused by Cyclospora cayetanensis, a parasite often found on produce. A Michigan-based outbreak linked to recalled iceberg lettuce, grown by Taylor Farms in Mexico, has been identified as the largest nationwide, according to the Food and Drug Administration. Some of the recalled lettuce products were distributed to food service locations in Massachusetts. In the United States, people can become sick with cyclosporiasis by eating contaminated, uncooked produce, according to the DPH. Previous outbreaks have been linked to fresh produce such as raspberries, fresh basil, cilantro, scallions, snow peas, and bagged salad, the department said. Outside the U.S., in areas where cyclospora is endemic, people can also become sick by drinking contaminated water, according to the DPH. Those in Massachusetts who suspect they got sick after eating food prepared outside a private home, such as a restaurant, are urged to report it to the DPH through its Report My Meal page. What are the symptoms of cyclosporiasis? People typically start noticing cyclosporiasis symptoms about 1 week after eating food or drinking water infected with cyclospora, according to the CDC. Most common symptoms of cyclosporiasis: watery or explosive diarrhea, loss of appetite, weight loss, cramping, bloating, increased gas, nausea, fatigue. Less common symptoms may include vomiting, body aches, headache, low-grade fever, and other flu-like symptoms. Five men face charges after Marlboro sex sting by Norman Miller. Four men were released on the same $2,500 bail they previously posted after they were arraigned Monday, August 17th, in Marlboro District Court, as the result of a joint local and federal investigation that targeted people attempting to engage in sexual activity with minors. A fifth man, who had also posted $2,500 bail after his arrest on Friday, skipped court on Monday. Judge Megan Spring issued a warrant for his arrest. The arrest occurred Friday after an online sting by the Marlboro Police Department and U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement's Homeland Security investigations. During their arraignments, Spring did not order additional bail, but she did order the men not to use the internet other than for work, medical, or legal purposes, and to have no unsupervised contact with children under 18. In a press release, authorities said the five suspects allegedly spoke to a person they believed to be a 14-year-old girl online and are accused of making arrangements to meet the girl for sex. They were really speaking to an undercover law enforcement officer. When the men allegedly went to meet the girl in Marlboro, police were waiting for them. The five people charged include Robert Burles, 26 of Malden, Jason Bowie, 37 of Burlington, Mikaylee Murray, 26 of Springfield, Benito Perez Garcia, 44 of Marlboro, and Waldemar Rosa Rivera, 36 of Marlboro. All five are charged with paying for sexual conduct with a child younger than 18, enticement of a child younger than 16, and attempting to commit a crime. Murray was additionally charged with resisting arrest. If you come to Marlboro intending to exploit a child, expect to be investigated, identified, and arrested. Marlboro Police said on a statement, "The Marlboro Police Department and our law enforcement partners will continue working together to protect children and hold those who target them accountable." Perez Garcia did not appear to be arraigned, and his Spring issued a warrant for his arrest. Rosa Rivera is due back in court on September 9th for a probable cause hearing, while Bowie and Murray are due back on September 18th. Burles is due back on court on September 25th, also for a probable cause hearing. Two-alarm fire at Framingham multifamily home displaces three, by Norman Miller. Three people were displaced after a two-alarm fire Sunday, August 16th, at a multifamily home on Everett Avenue, according to Fire Chief Michael Dutcher. According to a press release, the cause of the 9:24 p.m. fire at 75 Everett Avenue remains under investigation. No one was injured. According to the release, firefighters responded to the home after receiving a report of smoke. After firefighters found fire in the walls of the first floor apartment, they called for a second alarm, bringing in extra crews. Firefighters knocked it down the fire and kept it contained to the first floor apartment. The other two apartments in the three-family home remain habitable, the chief said in the release. Crews made an aggressive attack and were able to quickly bring this fire under control, Dutcher said in a statement. Our firefighters did an excellent job containing the fire and preventing it from spreading further through the building. The apartment building is owned by SBH Realty Incorporated, according to the city assessor's database. The 109-year-old structure was last assessed at $785,000, according to city records. The residents of the apartment unit who were displaced by the fire, a man, a woman, and their adult son, are being assisted by the American Red Cross, Dutcher said. ICE arrests man convicted of murder at Westboro Court, by Kinga Barande from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette. Westboro. Federal authorities said U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials arrested a Brazilian national convicted of aggravated murder in his home country during an appearance August 3rd in Westboro District Court, where he had been scheduled to appear on motor vehicle charges. Macon Souto dos Reis entered the United States illegally June 7, 2024, according to a press release issued by the federal agency Monday, August 17. Brazilian authorities issued a warrant for Dos Reis on September 14, 2024, after he had been convicted and sentenced to 14 years and 3 months in prison, according to the release. Westboro District Court records indicate Dos Reis was arrested May 29th in Southboro on charges of driving without a license and failing to meet safety standards. Dos Reis was arraigned June 1st and released on his own recognizance with instructions to return for a pretrial hearing July 13th. But he failed to keep the court date and a warrant was issued. Dos Reis appeared at the continuation of that pretrial hearing on July 21st. Court officials said they were not made aware of his detention by federal authorities at the Westboro Court on August 3rd and issued another warrant for him. There are no records of an attorney appearing with Dos Reis or of a public defender appointed to his case. This is yet another example of what the media often characterized as a non-criminal, when in reality, many of these individuals are murderers, sexual predators, gang members, and more. They simply do not have a criminal record in the United States, said Acting ICE Enforcement and Removal Operations Boston Field Office Director David Wessling at the press release. We will continue to pursue these dangerous criminal aliens that sanctuary politicians fight to protect. ICE officials did not immediately respond to a request for more information about Dos Reis' background and the circumstances of the murder indictment. The Southboro Police did not respond to requests for information regarding Dos Reis' arrest in May. Car crashes through fence into pool in Northboro. No one was hurt. By Norman Miller. No one was injured Monday afternoon, August 17th, when a car drove into a swimming pool on Franklin Circle in Northboro. Police Chief Brian Griffin confirmed in a statement. The incident occurred at 1:50 p.m. In a press release, Griffin said the driver was visiting someone at the home when the brakes failed on the steep driveway. The driver was able to avoid hitting the home but crashed through a nearby metal fence that surrounded the pool. The sedan, a Hyundai Elantra sedan, according to WCVB-TV, became fully submerged, Griffin said. However, no one was injured and the Northboro Fire Department posted on Facebook that all occupants were out of the vehicle prior to emergency workers arriving. In an interview with WCVB, the driver said he was delivering packages to a neighbor. I was just trying to be a nice guy and deliver some packages, he said. So it's a lucky day when you get to walk away from something like this. So yeah, no injuries. No, I'm good. Penn State students accused in frat drug ring by Thao Nguyen, USA Today. More than a dozen current and former Pennsylvania State University students have been charged in connection with an alleged drug trafficking ring that authorities say operated in and around two fraternities, prosecutors announced August 17th. The alleged operation involved members of the Delta, Upsilon, and Sigma Chi fraternities, according to the Pennsylvania Attorney General's Office. Prosecutors said large quantities of cocaine were transported from Philadelphia and New York to State College, Pennsylvania from 2023 to 2024. The drugs were mainly cut and packaged at the Delta Upsilon and Sigma Chi fraternity houses before being distributed to Penn State students, according to prosecutors. An investigation identified Agostino Abatiello and Thomas Robinson as the operation's primary suppliers, whom Pennsylvania Attorney General Dave Sunday described as the top of the chain and senior members of the two fraternities. Abatiello and Robinson were among 14 people charged in the alleged cocaine trafficking operation, prosecutors said. The only person not a current or former Penn State student was Paul Robinson, Thomas Robinson's father. We did not hear of any drug packaging happening on Penn State's campus, Sunday said in a news conference. Again, the packaging happened at off-campus fraternity houses, and the actual drug dealing was largely from friend to friend, fraternity brother to fraternity brother, acquaintance to acquaintance, and at fraternity houses and or during parties or social engagements. 13 of the people charged were Penn State students at or around the time of the alleged conduct, and at least 4 of those are current students, according to prosecutors. Abatiello, Thomas Robinson, Mohammed Hurabi, and Lars Zipfat were charged with felony corrupt organizations, conspiracy, dealing in proceeds of unlawful activity, and other related offenses, prosecutors said. Another student, Robert Zanola, faces felony conspiracy and criminal use of a communications facility charges, while 8 others were charged with misdemeanor drug possession and paraphernalia offenses. Prosecutors accused Abatiello and Thomas Robinson of making regular trips to Philadelphia and New York to obtain large amounts of cocaine. This was a coordinated and highly profitable drug trafficking crew revolving around 2 senior members of the fraternities, other fraternity brothers, and pledges, Sunday said. In fact, according to the evidence uncovered, cutting and packaging cocaine was for some pledges an indoctrination into the fraternity. Paul Robinson was charged with felony tampering and hindering apprehension. Prosecutors alleged he took steps to conceal evidence, including a safe containing drugs and cash, and obstructed the investigation. In a statement released August 17th, Penn State said it was horrified by allegations that current and former students were involved in a cocaine trafficking operation. The university said it is cooperating with law enforcement and condemned any criminal activity or hazing tied to the allegations. The school announced it is placing Delta Upsilon on interim suspension while its Office of Student Accountability and Conflict Response conducts an investigation. Judge postpones Luigi Mangione state trial by Thao Nguyen from USA Today. Luigi Mangione's New York murder trial in the 2024 killing of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson has been postponed after he pleaded guilty to federal charges and moved to have the state case dismissed, court records show. Judge Gregory Carroll issued a brief order August 17th, giving Manhattan prosecutors until October 9th to respond to a defense motion, arguing that New York's double jeopardy law bars the state's prosecution. Carroll also scheduled Mangione's next court appearance for December 10th, postponing the trial, which has been scheduled to begin September 8th. The killing of Thompson, 50, drew national attention and was widely condemned by public officials. At the same time, the case became a flashpoint in the wider public discourse over frustrations with the U.S. health insurance industry. Mangione, 28, admitted in federal court on August 14th that he fatally shot Thompson outside a New York City hotel on December 4, 2024. He pleaded guilty to two federal charges of stalking, resulting in death. His legal team then filed the motion in the New York case, arguing that the state's double jeopardy law protects him from being prosecuted and punished twice for the same conduct. Mangione entered his federal plea without making a deal with federal prosecutors, and there is no guarantee that taking responsibility will result in any leniency at his sentencing. Federal prosecutors initially charged Mangione with murder through the use of a firearm and sought the death penalty. But earlier this year, a U.S. district judge dismissed the two most serious federal charges, removing possibility of capital punishment. Jamie McDonald, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, previously said his office will seek the maximum sentence of life in prison. During his August 14th plea hearing, Mangione admitted to ambushing Thompson outside the hotel after planning the attack. He told the court that he 3D printed a handgun and traveled to New York with the intention of shooting Thompson. Surveillance footage and forensic evidence, including DNA and ballistics, found by investigators, had linked the suspect to the scene. Mangione was arrested 5 days later on December 9, 2024, in Altoona, Pennsylvania, after an employee and customers at a McDonald's restaurant recognized him from images that were released by New York Police Department, authorities said. Police officials previously said they had matched the gun found in Mangione's possession to casings discovered outside the hotel where Thompson was fatally shot. Investigators also matched Mangione's fingerprints to those found on a water bottle and a protein bar wrapper near the scene, according to officials. In December 2024, Mangione pleaded not guilty to state murder, weapons, and forgery charges brought by the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg. If convicted in New York State Court, Mangione faces a sentence of 25 years to life on the murder charge. He also faces charges in Pennsylvania. Blog predicts correction in AI market. Overly bullish investors may cause prices to drop. By Reuters, Frankfurt, Germany. A market correction to tech stock exuberance in the United States is likely and could have far-reaching consequences due to limits in fiscal and monetary policy buffers to blunt the potential economic hit, a European central bank blog post said August 17th. Investors have been piling into technology stocks on bets that AI will fundamentally alter the global economy, and valuations for top tech companies are now far above historic averages. Economic research on past technological revolutions points to a worrisome conclusion. A correction of current stock market valuations is likely, said the blog post, which does not necessarily reflect the ECB's opinion. Even if the technology succeeds and the profits rise, stocks may still fall because it is hard to fulfill markets' excessively optimistic profit growth bets, the post added. Psychological trends also point to a correction, the blog argued. Overly optimistic investors tend to bid up prices beyond fundamentals. Then, when optimism fades, prices tend to fall even more sharply than in rational scenario, the post said. For Europe, a U.S. market correction would be a question of financial stability, since households have a $509 billion exposure to so-called Magnificent Seven stocks: Alphabet, Amazon, Apple, Meta Platforms, Microsoft, Nvidia, and Tesla, while pension and insurance firms' exposure is about the same. The more severe scenario is not the equity correction on its own, but a correction that coincides with broader market instability that policymakers cannot easily calm. Unlike in the dot-com episode, today's starting point leaves markedly less room to cut interest rates or use fiscal policy to cushion the fallout, the blog said. While European stock valuations appear more rational, market moves closely correlate with the United States, so local equities will also take a hit, the blog said, adding the exact timing of the correction is unknowable in advance. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you all have a safe and well day.